Yeah.
So, oh, we're happy to welcome Marc Magro from Lyon on alleviating the non-ultra locality of the ADS5 cross S5 superstring.
Okay. So, thanks. So, first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to talk at this nice conference. So, my talk will be based on these three references. And this is work done in collaboration with François Delduc, who is also at the NSIO, and Benoît Vicedo, who is in the audience. So Benoît is currently at the University of York, but he is actually moving in a few days to the University of Hertfordshire. Okay. So this is the plan of my talk. So in the first part, I will introduce the motivation behind this work. Then I will review what is non-neutral locality and especially why it is the source of difficulties. Then in the second part, I will move and tell and make a review of the first steps of the FADEF-Reschetti-Guinn procedure. In the third part, I will present our work. So, and then I will explain this generalization of these first steps to the superstring. I will tell why we can call this an alleviation of non-neutral locality and tell what is the link of this procedure with the Polymer reduction. Okay, so the motivation behind this work is that the goal is to quantize the ADS5 cross S5 superstring from first principles. So another way to state this is that what we would like to do is to construct the corresponding quantum integrable lattice model. So let me stress that this is a long-term goal, and even a very long-term goal. And actually, there is no guarantee of success at all. Of course, one can achieve such a goal if the theory, the ADS5 cross S5 superstring, is integrable at the quantum level. But I think it's fair to say that no one has any doubt about that. But one could also turn the things, of course, the other way around, is that achieving such a goal would provide a proof of quantum integrability. So this is the goal. So a necessary intermediate step is to construct a classical integrable discretization of the ADS5 cross S5 superstring. And the point is that it's already very difficult. And the reason why it is very difficult, in fact, this is an old problem for integrable sigma models, and the difficulties comes from the non-neutral locality of these integrable sigma models. So because of this, I will first review what is non-neutral locality, and then I will explain why it is the origin of the difficulties. So this will be the next slide. Okay, so we want to have a classical integrable model on the lattice. So we have a lattice, we have n sides, we have periodic conditions, and the dynamical variables are encoded in matrix Tn over lambda, where lambda is a spectral parameter. So the question is, we ask is, what could be the Poisson bracket of this Tn over lambda in order to have a classical integrable lattice model? And the class of Poisson bracket that we will consider corresponds to the Fredel-Mailly quadratic algebra. So I have indicated here this Poisson bracket. So here I used usual tensorial notation. So T1n is Tn over lambda tensorial identity. T2m is 1 tensorial Tm of u. So it depends on these four matrices A, B, C, D. And I haven't indicated, but this A12, B12, C12, and D12, they depend on spectral parameters lambda and mu. So what I will do is that I will first recall condition in order this expression to be a Poisson bracket, and then I will discuss its properties. So the first thing is antisymmetry. And the result is that if A and D are antisymmetric, while B12 is equal to C21, then this expression is antisymmetric. Okay, so then we move with Jacobi identity. And what one can show is that if A and D satisfy the classical modified Young-Baxter equation, so here C12 is the quadratic Casimir, and then if there are further two conditions which mix A and C and D and B, then this expression satisfies the Jacobi identity. So that's in order to have a Poisson bracket, but I said also that I want some integrable model. So the next thing I will review is about integrability. So what one can show from this expression, if A, B, C, D satisfies this relation, A minus D plus B minus C equals zero, then we have integrability. So what this means is that we do just the usual thing. We introduce the monodromy M given by this expression, and then one compute from this, and we find that the monodromy has the following Poisson bracket. And from this expression, you can already see that if you take trace of M of lambda with the trace of M of mu, because A minus D plus B minus C equals zero, this will give zero. And more generally, you can prove that the trace of MK are in involution. So okay, so this would be a good way to have something on the lattice. So now I will move on and I will say, okay, what happens if I take this and now I go to the continuum limit? But before that I will explain non-neutral OKD. Sorry. So I have this Poisson bracket. So from this it will be quite clear what is non-neutral OKD. So we have two types of terms. There are the terms which is on first line, which are proportional to A and D, but what is more important is that they are proportional to the Kronecker symbol. So what means for these terms is that they do not vanish only if M equals N. So this is, but it happens only something at the same site. So this is why it is called ultralocal. But it is clear for the second line, the terms which are proportional to B and C, because we have these Kronecker symbols, they only vanish for adjacent sites. So because of that, they are not ultralocal, and this is so what we call non-ultralocality here on the lattice. Okay, so non-neutrality comes really from these terms, the terms proportional to B and C. And then you can consider the case where things are ultralocal. So if you take B equals 0, the previous conditions that I have indicated tell you that C12 equals B21, so therefore C is equals also to 0. Then we have the relation A minus D plus B minus C equals 0, so this means that A equals D. And then A was solution of a modified classical Young-Baxter equation. So this means that you recover what you know for ultralocal model and you have this well-known Poisson bracket. Okay. So now we will consider the continuum limit. So if you want to go to the continuum limit, what you have to do is that you have to interpret this Tn of lambda as being a transition matrix from site n to n plus 1 of some spatial Lax matrix L of sigma and lambda. So what you have to do now, you take this, you take the Poisson bracket, and then you make an expansion of this in terms of a lattice spacing, and the first non-trivial order will give you the Poisson bracket for L with itself. So you do this computation, and the result, what you will find is the following. So you are not surprised, because we have this delta Mn and this delta M plus 1 N, you will find terms which are proportional to the Dirac distribution. This corresponds to the ultralocal terms, but you will find also terms which are proportional to the derivative of the Dirac distribution. So if you do this computation, what you will find is that this R and S, so this Poisson bracket has the so-called RS form, this R and S, they are related to A, B, C by the following relation. So R is A plus 1/2 B minus C, while S is 1/2 B plus C. Okay? So in particular, it means this one is antisymmetric and this one is symmetric. So let me just stress what happens here. So this Poisson bracket of a Lax matrix, which is the continuum limit of what I had here, they are of the RS form with R and S stemming from A, B, C, D satisfying the Fredel-Maillet conditions. Okay, now it's clear that the non-neutrality comes from these terms. So this means that the non-neutrality is carried by the matrix S. So remember this because a lot of things we have to do with matrix S. And actually, this Poisson structure on the continuum, it was considered by, for instance, by Maillet before on the continuum, and later when we have this with Fredel things in on the lattice. Okay, so where are we? At this moment, we have something nice that could work. So we have some Poisson brackets on the lattice, so it would be nice, and then we would have some continuum limits. So the question we would ask, okay, do we have such things for the string? And at the beginning, there are some good news. So the good news is the following. So you start from the continuum, because this is the only thing that you know. Then the other good news is that the Lax matrix in the Hamiltonian formulation is known. And the second good news is that its Poisson brackets are specially, exactly of this RS form I have in the previous slide. So this is the good news. So here I have indicated because the S12, so I have indicated for later comparison. So this S12, it's given here. And this C12ij are, okay, I should first start by this, sorry. So to explain my notation, F is just the Lie superalgebra PSU224. So there is the Z4, usual Z4 gradient. So it has this decomposition. And F0 corresponds to SO41 plus SO5. So in this expression, C12ij is the projection of the Casimir on Fi tensorial Fj. Okay, so this is the good news. Unfortunately, there is bad news, and even very bad news. The bad news is that with R and S, they do not stem from any ABCD satisfying the Fredel-Maillet condition. So, and in fact, this is the same situation for principal Carrier model and for the Cosette models. So, one way to summarize the situation is that we have this RS algebra of a continuum, but it cannot be discretized as a lattice Fredel-Maillet algebra. So, this means that you have this problem. So this is bad news, but in fact you have even more difficulties, because something quite naive at what Google says is that, well, we start from the known Poisson bracket algebra of a lax matrix on the continuum, and then we compute. We introduce this Tn of lambda, which is the transition matrix between site n and n plus 1 of L, and from this we compute, and we see what we get. The problem is that this Poisson bracket of this Tn of lambda, they are not well defined. And the reason they are not well defined comes precisely because of non-neutral locality. So one can understand this schematically in the following way. So suppose I want to compute the Poisson bracket of Tn of lambda with Tm of mu. So these objects are integrated objects. So if I do the computation, what I will find? I will find first an integral from sigma n to sigma n plus 1 d sigma. This will come from Tn of lambda. Then I will have an integral from sigma n to sigma plus 1 d sigma prime. This comes from Tm of mu. And I just focus on the non-neutral locality. So I forget all the rest and I just keep the delta prime term. This will be enough to explain the problems. So if I do this integral, it's easy to do, and we find these results, where chi is the characteristic function of interval. But this function is undefined when two points coincide. Okay, so this means that you're stuck here, and this is another problem. So the question is, well, what can we do? So this is the end of the first part of my talk, and now I will move on. In the second part, I will review the first steps of the Faddeev-Reshetnikin procedure. Okay, so the Faddeev-Reshetnikin approach concerns the SU2 principal chiral model. So this model is described by this Hamiltonian. So here J0 and J1 are the phase space variables of this model. They satisfy the following canonical Poisson bracket. Well, you have a delta prime term here. The lax matrix is here, and the Poisson bracket of this lax matrix, as I have already said, this is the principal chiral model, they satisfy the non-neutral local RS algebra. So one way to summarize the Faddeev-Reshetnikin strategy is to get rid of non-neutral locality. And it's really this. So what does this mean? So I will give you the first steps of the Faddeev-Reshetnikin approach. So what you do is that you keep, what they do, they keep the same lax matrix. Okay, so we don't change it. We keep the lax matrix of the principal chiral model. However, we replace the canonical non-neutral local Poisson bracket by the neutral local Poisson bracket, which is given here. Okay, so step one, you keep the same lax matrix. Step two, well, you take another Poisson bracket, which is neutral local. And for step three, what you do is that, what they do is that they find such Hamiltonian H prime, so that if you take this Hamiltonian H prime with this modified Poisson bracket, you find the same dynamics as the Hamiltonian of a principal chiral model with a canonical structure. Okay, so that's the first steps. So what I will do now is that I will say more about step three, because there are some subtleties that will play an important role later. So, this is a Poisson bracket. I mean, it depends what you mean. I mean, this is a good Poisson bracket. Express of? I don't hear you properly, sorry. This is a good Poisson bracket. Okay, so I change the Poisson bracket. Okay, this is an ultra-local one. So this is why my phase space variable, and they decide, well, I want to work with this one because it's ultra-local. And now I just say, this is my next slide. Okay, sorry, I understood the question, but this is exactly my slide here. Sorry, I did not understand the question. So the point is, that's exactly what you say, that this Poisson bracket is degenerate. Okay. So it's not symplectic. Okay. So a priori you want to do is that you want to look for H prime such that for any function of the phase space variable J0 and J1, you have this result. But because this ultralocal Poisson bracket is degenerate, so what it means is that you have, it's Casimir, T++ and T++, the Poisson commute with every quantity. So, of course, it is then clear that, whatever quantity we choose for H prime, this T plus plus and T minus minus, they cannot evolve with this dynamics. Okay, so this means that in fact it's only possible to reproduce a reduction of the principal chiral model dynamics, defined by setting these Casimirs to constant. So this answers to your question. And the good news is that this can be done in a consistent way. And the reason why it can be done in a consistent way, because it is, you look at the equations of motion satisfied by this quantity in the principal chiral model, and the equation says that they are chiral and anti-chiral, so we can put them in a consistent way to a constant values. Another way to say this is that these are the components of a stress energy tensor, so what you have to do is a reduction of conformal symmetry. And then you move on. And then the next question is then now to find an Hamiltonian H prime, but for the reduced dynamics. And this is possible. So my talk is concentrated on this first step. So I will not discuss what happens at the quantum level. So here what you have is that you have a classical wave equivalence, modulo the fact that you have to do this reduction. And for what happens at the quantum case, so this is a delicate issue. So what matters is that once you do, because now you have something ultra-local, so you can quantize, you can go in the lattice, but what matters is that the reference state you use in the better ansatz to quantize does not correspond to the physical state. So then the idea is that if you take the classical limits with two different vacuums, this can give two different classical theories. But I will not go into these details, but I just want to mention so that the latest test I know that have been conducted for this, they have been done by Joao Quetano, I don't know if he's still here. And I discussed with him this week and called for me that this way you find agreement for the ground state at finite size. But it is still something delicate issue. I will not say more about that. Okay, so now it's quite a natural question. At the beginning, you can say also it's a curiosity to ask, well, can we generalize this for the superstring? Okay. So you want to generalize, so you try to do the same. So you keep the same Lax matrix at the Lax matrix of the ADS5 cross S5 superstring. So I have given here its expression. So here AI and pi j are the phase space variable of the ADS5 cross S5 superstring. These are the canonical Poisson bracket of this quantity. So, and you try to do the same thing as Fadev and Kreshetkin. So you keep this Lax matrix, but you would like to replace this canonical Poisson bracket, which have some delta prime, by something which is ultra-local, where you don't have any more delta prime terms. And the question is, well, which Poisson bracket? So an obvious guess is really to mimic Fadev and Kreshetkin and to consider this Poisson bracket, which is completely ultra-local. But you realize that it cannot work because you can understand this because in this Poisson bracket there is no sign of coset. What the fact that you consider a sigma model on a coset space or symmetric space. Coset. And the other thing is that, and this is a more precise thing, the most precise way to state things, is that if you look at the Casimirs of this Poisson bracket, they are inconsistent with the dynamics of a superstring. In fact, it's clear that they will be consistent with the dynamics of the principal chiral model because I have just really mimicked Fadev and Kreshetkin. So this means you cannot do that. So, well, you try to guess some other thing, but then you realize it's quite impossible to guess. So, that's the story. So, well, what can you do? So, this is part three of my talk, and so you try to understand things at a deeper level. So, what do we have? So, we had at the beginning this nice picture, so that we will have some kind of non-ultra-local Poisson bracket, the one corresponding to this lattice Fredel-Maillet quadratic algebra, and it will give something nice in the continuum, but unfortunately, when we compute things for the ADS5 plus F5 superstring, you have something in the continuum, but you cannot go to the lattice. So this means that this non-ultra-locality of the ADS5 plus S5 superstring in the continuum, we don't really understand it yet completely. So what we need to have a better understanding of this. So we need to understand better the algebraic sighting behind Hamiltonian integrability of superstring, and more precisely, what is the deep origin of non-ultra-locality. And the right framework to do that is to rephrase integrability in the right framework. And the right framework is the R-matrix approach. And in fact, this was already been done by Benoît Vicedot in 2010. So I will just review what is important for our purpose from his work, and then I will go on. So one way to state things is that there is a quartet behind integrability, and I will review what is this quartet. So the first element of a quartet is a loop algebra. In our case, this is a twisted loop algebra, F hat sigma, so it corresponds of elements which are in the loop algebra of PSU 224, which satisfy this property. And here sigma is the usual Z4 automorphism associated with a Z4 grading. So the first element of a quartet is this loop algebra. The second element is the Lax matrix L, the one I have indicated just before. And now the last two elements are the following. So the third element is the R matrix. So it's a standard R matrix. What it means is that this operator R is defined as this difference of these two projections. So this one is projection on elements of the loop algebra with positive or null powers of lambda, while this one is projection on elements with negative powers of lambda. And once you define this R like this with projection on these different subalgebras, it satisfies automatically the modified classical Young-Baxter equation, which I have given here, and I have given it here in terms of operators. Okay. So, I will explain later where this R plays a role. So, this is the third element, this R matrix. And the last element, which will play a key role in our procedure, it's a twist function. So, Benoit has computed it in the case of a superstring. It's given by this function. And what it enables to define a twisted inner product on the loop algebra. And the way it is defined, it's by taking the following residue. So you take the residue at lambda equals zero of d lambda over lambda phi lambda times the supertrace of x lambda y lambda. Okay? So this twist function, once you define such a twist function, you can define this twisted inner product. And just note that if you define u by du equals d lambda over lambda times phi, u lambda is just the Zhukovsky map. Okay, so we have these four elements of this quartet, and now I will explain why it is beyond integrability. So you can see things at the abstract level, but what matters for my talk is what happens in practice. So if you see things at the abstract level, is that once you have this quartet, the data of this quartet enables you to define a Kirilov constant Poisson bracket, which is associated with this R matrix, on the central extension of maps from S1 to the loop algebra. So in practice, what it means is that you give me this data, and then I give you a Poisson bracket RS. Okay, so here you can see where are the different elements. So L was an element of the quartet. This is an element of this set, and where R will enter, so the capital R, it will enter because it will give specific values to this R and S. And what I've indicated here, so R is 1/2 capital R minus the dual of R, and S is 1/2 R plus R star. So another way to say is that little R is the antisymmetric part of capital R, and little S is the symmetric part of capital R. And you see the way where the last element of a quartet enters. It enters because in this formula you need the dual of R. And of course, this dual of R is defined with respect to the twisted inner product in the usual way. So these two formula just tells you where the different items of this quartet enter. So if you have this quartet, you just put this in the machinery and you have automatically a RS Poisson bracket. Okay, and this is very nice. Why is it very nice? Because I want to understand, well, what is the origin of non-intralocality, but we know non-intralocality in this formula comes from the fact that S is not equal to zero, because this is the term proportional to the delta prime term. But S is this. So this means that non-intralocality means comes from the fact, and this is what I call the algebraic origin of non-intralocality, that the dual of R is not equal to minus R. Okay. So that's where it comes from. But in fact, there is even more, because now you can even, let's say, quantify non-intralocality from this formula. And the reason why you quite say this, because it's very easy to compute what is the dual of R. So you do the computation, just do this, and with the residue formula, and what you will find is this. If you take a generic twist phi, The dual of R is related to R by this formula. So what this means is that you first multiply by the function lambda minus 1 times phi lambda, then you apply this operator R, which is the difference of these two projectors, and then you multiply by the inverse of this function. So now we can play this with this, because now I know exactly how the dual of R is related to R, or to minus R, more exactly, because this is what matters. So now we can try. So we don't want to do as Fadef and Reshetikin, so we want to get rid of non-intralocality, but it's very easy to know what to do once we have this. What we have to do is that we take our quartet, we don't change the first three elements of this quartet, we keep them, F hat, sigma, L, R, we keep them, and you just replace lambda minus 1 phi by 1. And then, of course, here it's clear that you will have R star equals minus R. This is what you wanted to do. Unfortunately, the problem is that you cannot do that, because this leads to completely degenerate Poisson bracket. So we'll find zero. Well, it's perfect, but for what we want to do with this, you cannot do anything. And the reason why it leads to completely degenerate Poisson bracket, this comes from the fact that the loop algebra is twisted, and that you have this property which is related to the grading. So one way you can see this is that if you take the formula I have given for the residue for a generic twist phi, so if I take, instead of this lambda minus 1 phi, I take 1, so the inner product is xy and x1, is to have to take the residue at lambda equals 0, d lambda supertrace x lambda y lambda. But because the loop algebra is twisted and you have this property, if you take this supertrace, there are never terms which are proportional to 1 over lambda in this expression. So this means that the residue always vanishes. And this is why this leads to a completely degenerate Poisson bracket. Well, you can interpret this in two ways, in the negative way and the positive way. The negative way is that it's impossible to completely get rid of non-intralocality. And it's a good reason to explain why you could not guess it before. Okay. But there is some good news, and it says that there is a good lead. The good lead is that you can recast the original Fadef-Reshetikin procedure for the principal Carré model in this language. Why? Because in the principal Carré model, you also have a quartet, but this is the principal Carré model. So the loop algebra is no more twisted. This is just the ordinary loop algebra. You have the Lax matrix and so on. So for the principal Carré model, you have only F hat here, if you wish, and then you can do, well, the phi takes the value that it takes for the principal Carré model, and you can do this game. And if you do this game, you will find exactly the modified ultralocal Poisson bracket of Fadef and Reshetikin. So it's not too bad, also. And the first try did not work, so, well, we try something else. And our problem is non-intralocality, so I will first explain things in this way. I want to make non-intralocality, let's say, as small as possible. And then I will phrase it in a more correct way. So replacing lambda minus 1 phi by 1 did not work. So we take the simplest things. We replace lambda minus 1 phi by lambda minus. And then now what you have to do is to compute this little r and little s. And if you do the computation, this was this r. It was the difference of these two projections. The anti-symmetric part is given here, but what matters is what is in red here. The symmetric part of capital R is just pi zero. What it means is that it's just the projector on the constant part F naught of the loop algebra. So, in other words, if I look at the kernel of S, S12 of lambda mu is just C1200. And why this is good? It is good because then you can refer to a result of Semenov-Tanchansky and Sevostyanov of 95, they tell you whenever you have this, and what is really important here is this fact, that S is a projector on the subalgebra L0, then such R and S, they stem from ABCD satisfying the Fredel-Maillet conditions. Okay. And in fact, the way you choose this thing is really to use this result by Semenov and Tanchansky in order to have this S equals pi zero. Okay, so this is good because now you have some R and S that stem from ABCD satisfying Fredel-Maillet condition, a fact which was not true for the canonical Poisson structure. And Semenov, Tanchansky, and Sevostyanov tell you what are the ABCD. So they are given here. So A is R plus alpha, B equals minus S minus alpha, C equals minus S plus alpha, D is R minus alpha, where alpha is a skew symmetric solution of a modified classical Young-Baxter equation on F0. Okay, so what do we do? So just to summarize. So this is why we call this an alleviation of non-neutral locality, because at the end, you still have some non-neutral locality. Okay, it's still there. You wanted to get rid, but you still have non-neutral locality. But the good point is that this one, you know, you can use this. So you can then write something on the lattice. And just for conciseness, the resulting non-neutral locality, we call it mild. Okay. So we do this, and then now we go on. And we go on with the next steps of the Fadet-Frechetikin approach. So what you have to do is, well, you have now the modified Poisson bracket for the phase space variables I have indicated here, and what you have to do now is to compute the Casimirs of this Poisson bracket. So I have indicated this here, so this is not pedagogical to show this, but the reason why I have indicated this is the following. So as you can see, I mean, there are always delta prime delta terms. The only way where the delta prime appears is here. So this is really in the F0 part of the algebra, and in fact, the Lax matrix starts with A0. So you already see where S is. It's here, if you compute the Poisson bracket. And the second reason, and actually this is the most, the reason why I showed this, is that when you see such a thing, well, you realize that it was impossible to guess. And in fact, this is because we had this work, previous work by Benoit, where there was some understanding of what happened, so at some more abstract level, but we could use this because then you have some understanding and then you can derive this Poisson bracket. But if you try to guess, it's impossible. Okay, so the story goes on now that determining the Casimirs of this Poisson bracket. But I will say what happens in the case, the simplest case, which is a sigma model on symmetric space F over G. And then later I will tell how this generalizes to the superstring. So for simplicity, I consider a symmetric space F over G. So then we have a Z2 gradient, F equals F0 plus F1, F0 is G. The phase space variables are here. This is the Lax matrix for this model. And here, this is the corresponding modified non-vanishing Poisson bracket, applying this Fadet-Frechetikin procedure now to a symmetric space, because you can also do exactly the same. Okay, so again, details do not matter. Actually, what matters is on the left part of this slide, because these are the non-vanishing Poisson bracket. But as you can see, pi zero is not on the left. So this means that pi zero is a Casimir of this modified Poisson bracket. And then you have to study this in more detail, and I will just indicate the result. The result is the following. So you have the following Casimir. So as I said, pi zero is a Casimir. But now you have to say, okay, what happens in the original dynamics of the symmetric space model? But for the F over G symmetric space, this pi zero corresponds to an Hamiltonian constraint, which is related to the fact that we have a gauge invariance. So this means that this is a Casimir, so you have to put this to a constant, and the way the constant you choose it comes from the fact that this is a constraint here. So you set the value of this constant to zero. So you start with this Casimir, you impose pi zero equals to zero, and when you do this, there is another Casimir, which is A plus one. So this means that you have to set this A plus 1 to a constant, and so you put A plus 1 sigma tau equals mu plus t, and mu plus is a constant, and t is an element in F1. And then you have another set of Casimir, which are trace A minus 1 to the n, so you have to realize these Casimirs, and a way to realize this Casimir is to use the polar decomposition theorem, which means that you write this A minus 1 this way. So here, the field G sigma tau takes value in G, and t is the same t as here, and mu minus is a constant. So if you take this, it's clear that this trace of A minus 1 to the n, they are constants. But now, so this is the way how to realize this Casimir, and here there is an extra information to take the value of 2,0. But now you have to do the same thing as what I said before, is that this has to be consistent with the dynamics of a symmetric space F of G. So is it consistent to impose this condition with the dynamics? And actually, it's very easy to answer this question because you don't need really to say more. What matters here is this. Fixing these Casimirs is exactly equivalent to do the Pollmeyer reduction, as it was recalled by Ben in his talk this morning, of the F over J symmetric space. So, and which means that this is consistent. So I will not go into the detail. I will just tell you what are the physical interpretation of what I have done in the previous slides, and I've indicated this in blue. So what is the physical interpretation? So for pi naught, I have already said it. This is the Hamiltonian constraint. The way this is, you can interpret this in the physics is the following. So first we impose that A plus 1 is along T. This corresponds to a partial gauge fixing condition that you have in the symmetric space model. And then you impose that the coefficient is constant. And this corresponds to a partial conformal symmetry reduction. And here is the same. Imposing mu minus equals to constant, this is the partial conformal symmetry reduction as well. So the story is, just to repeat, is that we have these Casimirs and you can then put consistently to their values, and in fact it's exactly the same thing as the Paul-Meyer reduction. So you go on and I just indicate the result. The result is following. At the end of a procedure, you are left with this phase space variable. So G takes value in the group G, A naught takes value in the Lie algebra G. They satisfy the following Poisson bracket. So the Lax matrix, I recall you that I said you don't change the Lax matrix, but of course, I mean, in the expression of the Lax matrix, you implement the value of the Casimirs. And what you find at the end is this Lax matrix. And you can also determine the Hamiltonian, but I will not go into these details. So let me just tell what is the consequence of what I have said by let me tell you what is the consequence of what I said for symmetric space and Gordon models. And this will be a way to give a full picture of what is going on. So if you take the Paul-Meyer reduction of Singer model on symmetric space F over G, this corresponds to the symmetric space St. Gordon models. And the Lagrangian formulation is given in terms of the G over H gauge Vesey-Newton model plus potential term, as was it was also recalled by Penn. And here the Lie algebra H corresponds to elements of G which commute with this T that I had in the Casimirs. Okay, so the result we have are the following. So the first one is really what is important. This modified Poisson bracket prime, this one, this corresponds to the canonical structure of symmetric space and Gordon models. And here the important word is canonical. So what does this mean, to be precise, is that if you use these models as defined by a G over H gauge Vesey-Newton model plus potential term, and you compute the canonical structure, you exactly find this. And the second statement, which is related to this one, is the Hamiltonian H prime and the L that I have here. They are the corresponding Hamiltonian and Lax matrix. Okay. And before stating what it means, just let me say that if you take this model, so it's clear that its canonical structure, I mean, does not come from potential terms, so you can concentrate on this. And in fact, for this gauge, as you know, with a model, the canonical structure and the Hamiltonian, they were computed by Peter Bocock in 89, who is in the audience. And you just take this and you compare with what he has, and you find it's exactly the same. And for the Hamiltonian, it's the same up to the potential term. So what this means is that what we have proved, so we have proved this in an indirect way. If you wish, this is a byproduct of our analysis, but it's an important byproduct, is that the non-neutral locality of symmetric space and Gordon models, viewed as gauge Vesey-Newton models plus potential, is mild. Okay. Okay, so now I can say what happens for the superstring. And here, actually, I can be brief. I will say this briefly, and I can be very brief because everything extends smoothly. So what we have shown is that we have the same results for the S5, process 5 superstring, which means that the alleviation procedure leads to the Paul-Meyer reduction, as was done. So in particular, what this means is that there exist Casimirs of the modified Poisson bracket, the complicated one I've shown some slides before, which correspond to gauge fixing condition of the kappa symmetry. And let me insist, when you look at what are these Casimirs, and you compare them with what you have in this paper, this is exactly the same. Exactly. And then we have also the second consequence, exactly the same, that the non-neutral locality of the ADS5 cross S5 semi-symmetric space and Gordon model is mild. Okay. Well, oops. So before concluding, let me make some remarks. So the first remark I would like to do is that there is no freedom in our procedure. So the input we have put is that what we wanted is wanted to have this mild non-intralocality. Once we have put this input, we are forced to consider this modified Poisson bracket prime that I had. And then once you have this modified Poisson bracket, you are forced to look at its Casimirs, and then you realize that these Casimirs force you to do the Pollmeyer reduction. There is no freedom at all once you put this input at the very beginning. So this is the first remark. The second remark is, of course, you could consider the following question. So you start with a symmetric or semi-symmetric space sigma model, but you take its canonical structure. Okay. And then you do the Pollmeyer reduction, and you ask your question, what do you find for the Poisson bracket on the reduced phase space? So this has been considered by Mihailov and by Schmidt in more detail for the ES5 cross S5 superstring. And if you, the result is that the Poisson structure that you find for the reduced phase space, they are non-local. Okay. So they are more complicated than what we have. But of course, here you deal with a canonical structure. So the last remark is the following. So among these generalized Sein-Gordon models, let's consider the complex Sein-Gordon model. So as I said, if you view this as a gauge Vesey-Minow-Witten model plus potential, this will correspond to the gauge SU2 over U1 Vesey-Minow-Witten model plus a potential. And as I told you, this, the non-neutrality of this model is mild. Okay, so you take this Lagrangian and you have a canonical structure, you Lax matrix, you compute, and it's mild. You don't need to compute this anymore, but that's the result. So, however, you could do another game. You could first fix the gauge invariance. So in this case, for this model, you can do it, and you will end up with the following gauge fixed action. And now you could start from this action and compute the associated RS structure. And in fact, this has been done by Maillet in 86. This is one of the first examples he considered for this RS structure. And the result you find is completely different from this level. The RS structure that he has, it's much more complicated than the one that we have, because in particular, the RS are dynamical, which means that they depend on the phase space variables. So this seems to suggest that probably what one should do is that one has to try to discretize at the level of gauge Vesey-Minow-Witten, not to gauge fix first. And in fact, this is reminiscent of some of the results that I don't have time to discuss, which within factorized scattering theory, which were observed by this person. And this other results, they seem also to suggest that somehow the proper definition of the theory is really at the level of gauge Vesey-Minow-Witten model, which seems to go in the same direction as what we have. So I will conclude. So the first thing I want to say in the conclusion, and this is one most important thing, is that what we have proved is that the non-neutral locality of generalized Sein-Gordon models, it's always understood as gauge Vesey-Minow-Witten model plus blah, 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 is mild. Okay, and we have also proved that the generalization of the first steps of the Fadeev-Frechetkin procedure coincides exactly with the Pollmeyer reduction. That's the second result. Well, now you want to go on, so the next challenge I will say is now to reach the same situation as for ultralocal models. And one knows from, again, Fredel and Maillet, that one has to search for now representation of the following quantum algebra. So this will be the equivalent of this ABCD with small a sub b cd I had in the beginning, but now it's quantum and now it's capital A, capital B, capital C and capital D. So here this is what will happen at the same site. Here this will be what will happen at adjacent site and here again. Okay? And you'll the ABCD will be satisfying this condition. But what I would like to say at the conclusion, and this will be my main message, is that with François Delduc and Benoît Vicedeau, we feel that there is some happening structure, which brings hope that one may be able to quantize from first principles at least the Pollmeyer reduction of a superstring. And I wanted to say this again, Ben said it this morning, but in the case of a superstring, the word reduction should not be misleading. I mean, there is no reduction of physical degrees of freedom. Okay, what you fix is really gauge invariances. So this does not guarantee success, again, as I said it at the beginning, but, well, you know how things are in research and more generally in life. Hope is important. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. questions.
So even ignoring the problems that H and H prime are different, maybe this will be cured indeed by filling the vacuum. How are you going to deal with the difference between worksheet and target space, Hamiltonian, for example?
For what?
To find the spectrum of target space.
I mean, okay, I want to say that somehow in this approach, maybe you are a lot frustrated because you want to ask many questions. So for instance, what is the link by this with what Ben showed and so on? What is the link between this? Can you, what will you obtain for thing? But all these questions, they come too early. So at the moment, you can't really answer this question. You have to go on. And then, so this I can't say. So I will be happy first if this, all this story can go on and then you have something on the lattice quantum and then I can ask this question. But it's very frustrating you cannot answer this kind of question. For instance, also you cannot answer the link with some other things. It's too early.
So in your action, when you defined R star by a joint action of lambda phi on R, so can you, instead of just removing phi, try to modify it so it commutes with R? Can you modify phi? Instead of removing it, can you try to modify it such that it will start commuting with R?
Well, but basically this is what I've done. I said instead of taking in my quartet phi, okay, I take, well, then, I mean, this inner product is with lambda minus one phi, so, but I change the phi. I mean, the alleviation procedure is really to change this twist function. That's what it is.
No, so, I didn't quite understand how much freedom you have. You say it's rigid, but I'm not sure that you...
The point is that,
You try first times lambda one phi just to zero. And second time, just remove phi. But can you do something else?
The thing is that, okay, here a priori, for the twist function, you can choose whatever you want, okay? But the thing is that, at the end, what guides us is that we want to have something that we can put on the lattice. So if you take anything, of, for instance, if you take this lambda minus 1, 5, with the precise value that Benoit found for the canonical structure of a DS5 process 5 superstring. So you do this, and you compute R and S. But as I already said, this R and S, if you take here the twist function which corresponds to the canonical structure, you cannot go on the lattice. The R and S with the lambda minus 1 phi here, which is the canonical structure, they do not stem from ABCD satisfying the Fredel-Maillet conditions. So now what we guide us that we want to change this, so we want to take another choice, and what we want is that we want at the end, if we extract from this other choice from all this quantity, so this defines the twisted inner product, so this defines how the dual of R will be related to R by the formula I had. So what you want to have something that you could put, can put on the lattice. And here you are guided by the result of Semenov and Sebastianov. Because if you have this, then you can do it. So what guides us is to have this result. It's not a theorem, but really it's unique.
I have a bit different question. So you said that you want to discretize the model eventually. And somehow you consider just, well, the standard procedure where you have normal space, normal time, and you discretize the space direction. And, well, for example, and we know that for the Sine-Gordon theory, actually it's not the best way to proceed. The best way is to use a light cone lattice and discretize light cone directions. Did you try to do something like that for this model?
No.
Why not?
I would say, you know, if to arrive here at this level, it took already some time. So I would say one way to answer your question is that no, because we are busy by doing this.
You are trying to quantize this superstring theory in sort of traditional way by departing from the Poisson structure and
that presents obvious difficulties. But in this integrable theory, it might be advantageous to start from the algebraic curve, which is more or less as good formulation as a Lagrangian for equivalent, in fact, for this classic, for the classical theory. But then we have at our disposal some powerful methods like quantizing algebraic curve. Maybe it's worth understanding this, at least all this experience with TBA, with Y system, shows that you can proceed this way. And actually, numerically, it's very efficient. Not numerically, but I mean, for particular calculations, it's very efficient, etc. For example, for the strong coupling, for the quasi-classical expansion. So maybe this is the way from the impasse to understand what is quantum algebraic curve.
Yeah, well, I don't know exactly what to answer. Well, yeah, I would say it's really a different road, so let you try. And then again, as I said, actually, you at some point, of course, you want to make contact with our things, but at the moment, I can't. We can't. But of course, you would like to do this. One day. But again, I said, I mean, I insisted, so this, there is the hope, but the goal is not yet here. There is no guarantee.
So, if you look at this latest discretization which you have constructed, can you rely on the latest PSU 2.2/4? Is it there? Global algebra, PSU 2.2/4.
You mean, I don't understand. You mean?
Well, we know that the string theory must have a global symmetry, which is PSU 2.2/4, right?
Yes.
The question is, now, if you have a latest discretization of your model, then you should be able to write the generators of this global symmetry in terms of your discretized variables.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, do you have it?
Well, an important point here is that there is one piece missing, is the TN. So, I mean, the only thing you have here is the ABCD. So you don't have the TN. And so for the next steps, you have also to find the TN. Again.
Well, how much is known about the integrable lattice discretization of supersymmetric sine, sigma model?
You mean of these generalized sine Gordon models?
Yeah, well, but not bosonic, the supersymmetric version.
Well, I mean, you know, this thing, well, to my knowledge, this was not known. In fact, this is something completely new. And, I mean, you need this first then to go to the, to the lattice. So, and, well, so of course for the simplest case, which is the Sine-Gordon model, of course then you know things. But, this is new. So, and this is the ingredient we need when to go to the lattice. So, that's all what I can say. So far.
Okay, so anyway, a message to the youngsters, I guess, is you, as you can see, the experts don't quite agree what are the first principles. Which, so, but anyway, let's thank Mark again for a beautiful talk.